reviewing the March 2019 Watchtower Study Edition for the week of May 13th through 19th. This is the JW Review. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the JW Review, and this is the weekly podcast where we review next week's Watchtower Study Edition and compare it to what the scriptures teach. So this week's article is Listen to Jehovah's Voice. But before we get into the article, I just wanted to let you all know that I'm going to make the bold attempt to start reviewing the meeting workbooks every week in addition to these Watchtower Study Edition reviews. But I'm not going to actually review them here on video or audio or however you're listening or watching this. I'm actually going to do a written review of the meeting workbooks. And the reason for my doing that is because I realize I have different audiences. I have some audiences that do like to listen and to watch, but I do have those who do like to read, and they want to interact through something that is written. So I get that. There are different audiences, and I want to appeal to as wide of an audience as I can, so as many people benefit from this as possible. But on top of that, I've mentioned this before, a lot of times the meeting workbooks have a little more meat, a little more doctrine, just things to interact with. And so they're going to, a lot of times, reference older Watchtower articles, which, in my opinion, did have a lot more meat and substance to them. A lot of the newer Watchtowers, they just don't seem to delve very deep into doctrinal issues. They seem to be more based on like Christian living and things like that. Whereas the meeting workbooks seem to be more surrounded by certain passages of scripture. Like right now, I think they're going through 2 Corinthians chapter by chapter. And so if something is raised by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians that, you know, merits some discussion, the Watchtower, you know, kind of brings that up. So all that to say, I think next week, if you go to michaeljfelker.com, I think I'll try to post it on Wednesday or every Wednesday, the meeting workbook reviews for the following week. So in other words, this coming Wednesday, you're going to see an article, but it's going to be for the meeting workbook for the meetings next week. So you'll have these things hopefully fresh on your mind and ready to engage for when you're attending your Kingdom Hall meeting. So anyway, I've already done my review for a week and a half from now, and there's definitely some interesting things to go into. So anyway, if you go to michaeljfelker.com, you're going to see those articles posted there. And you also see there these reviews. So you'll find these reviews and the media workbook reviews all over at my website, michaeljfelker.com. So let me know what you think of those articles. Feel free to interact with those, ask questions. And if you ever do want to see more of a topical article on a particular subject or even a video on a particular subject, let me know. Because if you ask a question to me, I would love to address it here. So if you're not asking a particular question, and I can just answer it in text, or I can make a whole video on it if it kind of merits such a video or a written article. So anyway, let's get into the review for next week. So this is titled Listen to Jehovah's Voice, and the key text is Matthew 17:5. So let's read the whole text. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And so that's listen to Jesus, and that is the Father speaking. So what I want to start out with is the preview section of this article. And what they say here is not surprising, but because it's something that they say all the time. Jehovah speaks to us by means of his written word, which includes the teachings of Jesus. So if we stopped there, we would have no argument whatsoever. But then they add on, as well as by means of his organization. So they've got to throw in the organization. But, you know, What's interesting to me when they put things like this is that they will put infallible, inerrant, inspired words from the Father and Jesus. And they'll say, you know, listen to this. But then they'll also say right next to that, listen to this, which is the words of the organization. Now you will see the Watchtower denying that they are inspired in any way. They'll admit that they make mistakes, but you should listen to them because God speaks to us through His Word, through Jesus, and through the organization. Do you see that there? They say these kinds of things without qualification. So again, yes, they do say in other places, completely separately, in a different context, that we're fallible, we make mistakes, right? But when they say things like this, they're basically speaking out of both sides of their mouth, right? Because they're saying, listen to Jehovah, listen to His Word, listen to Jesus, and listen to us. And they just stop there. They're not really qualifying what they're saying. And so you're basically reading this and saying, well, I guess I should listen to the organization just like I listen to scriptures. You see that? You see how confusing that is to people like me, outsiders who read these kinds of things? And I'm sure other people are confused as well. So in other words, you need to listen to the organization. You need to listen and obey everything they put in print, just as though you were listening to the words of Jehovah, even though none of this is inspired. They have errors in it, but you need to listen to it in the same way, because look at the header. Listen to Jehovah's voice, and listen to Jehovah's voice by means of His organization. Jehovah speaking through the organization, and that's why you should listen to Him. Listen to them, right? But they still make mistakes. They're still fallible. That's a problem. And if you're a Jehovah's Witness, you should see that as a huge problem. And we're going to get more to that in a second. So let's continue on with the article. First paragraph, Jehovah loves to communicate with us. In the past, He used prophets, angels, and His Son, Christ Jesus, to convey His thoughts to us. Correct. Today, He communicates with us through His Word, the Bible. He gave it to us so that we can learn His thinking and understand His ways. There's really nothing I can say in disagreement with that paragraph. They are right. So Jehovah does speak through various means. He speaks through prophets. He speaks through angels. He speaks through Jesus Christ. He speaks, of course, through His written word. He has all these different ways of communicating. And so the question is, what do all these ways of communication, what do they all have in common? What do they all have in common? Think about that for just a minute. If you're going to answer that, what do all of these means of Jehovah's communication have in common? Well, you might say, well, these are all just means through which Jehovah communicates. That's what they all have in common. True, but that's not the answer I'm looking for. What they all have in common is that the Jehovah speaks through these means in ways that are infallible, inerrant, inspired. You can't say that about the organization. So what the Watchtower is doing here is setting you up. They're setting you up to see that Jehovah communicates in all these different ways, and then they're going to kind of squeeze in the organization to say that, okay, Jehovah communicates through His prophets, through angels, through Christ, and through His organization, and they're going to lump them all together. But the organization needs to be placed way over here, away from all these other ones, because the ones over here, these are inspired and errant. These are words that you can trust because Jehovah inspired those. Over here with the organization, Jehovah doesn't inspire their words. These are fallible, error-prone men who admittedly make mistakes, who admittedly are fallible, right? They make changes. They screw up. They're fallible men just like you and me. But yet the Watchtower lumps them together all into one so that you'll listen to anything that they put in print. Paragraph 3. Now, this is really interesting, and a lot of people don't really pick up on this, but I wanted to point this out. Mark 1, 9 through 11 records the first occasion when Jehovah spoke from heaven. He said, "You are my son, the beloved. I have approved you." How it must have touched Jesus' heart to hear his father's voice expressing love and reassurance to him. Jehovah's words confirmed three important facts about Jesus. First, Jesus is his son. Second, Jehovah loves his son. And third, Jehovah has approved his son. Let us look at each one closely. What I want to point out here is the constant repetition of the word Jehovah. Because whether you're reading the New World Translation or a Watchtower article, you're going to find Jehovah, his son, Jehovah, his son. That's what you're going to see. You're going to see Jehovah, 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 Jehovah all throughout. You're going to see Jehovah referenced far more than you're going to see the word God or even Lord or especially the Father when you are reading the New World Translation or a Watchtower study article. But pay close attention, especially these texts like Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, which says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." That's the Father speaking. And it's extremely important that we recognize that, yeah, that's, of course, that's Jehovah speaking. But the scriptures want us to hear and read from that this is the Father, because we want to see Father and Son relationship. That's what Jehovah wants us to see, but you don't see that. You see the word Jehovah emphasized or overemphasized, as I would say, rather than the Father. You need to really pay close attention here, especially when we're talking about the sonship of Jesus Christ. And it's very important that when we see the sonship of Christ, we need to recognize the fatherliness of the Father, right? That's what the scriptures want us to believe, but the Watchtower really taints that and takes away the fatherliness of the Father. And I think that's just such an important thing to keep in mind when you're reading these Watchtower articles. And of course, I've mentioned time and time again that the word Jehovah has no place in the Christian scriptures. It just simply doesn't, because none of the manuscripts that we have in our possession, the Greek Christian manuscripts, none of them have the word Jehovah in them, except for the word Jah in a couple of places in Revelation. But that's it. That's the only place where we see any resemblance of the divine name. Paragraph 12. Here's another way we can show that we are listening to Jesus. Okay, catch this. Here's how you can show that you're listening to Jesus: by cooperating with those whom he has appointed to take the lead among us. Hebrews 13, 7 and 17. So let's read those texts. 13:7, "Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith." And then in 17, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." So first of all, this wouldn't be even referencing some type of governing body that rules over the Christian congregation. Even if such a thing existed, which it never did and doesn't, that's not what this text would be talking about. It's talking about those who watch over your souls. Those are people who know you, who are around you. The governing body can't watch over your souls. Even if they wanted to, there's millions of Jehovah's Witnesses worldwide. They can't, even if they wanted to, they couldn't handle that kind of responsibility. So who would this text be speaking about? Well, it'd be speaking about your elders, your local elders. Those are the ones who are who watch over your souls. And yes, you should obey them and you should submit to them. However, that does not mean that you need to unquestionably obey anything that they put in print. There's just nothing in the text to insinuate that. But what the Watchtower wants you to believe is that this is the governing body. So you need to believe everything the governing body puts in print. And so if you're not listening to the governing body, you're not listening to Jesus. That's what they're saying. Do you really see how huge that is? If you're not listening to the governing body or cooperating with the governing body, you're not cooperating with Jesus. Yet this governing body makes mistakes, but you apparently need to believe them anyway. That's a huge problem that most Jehovah's Witnesses are not going to recognize. God's organization has made many adjustments in recent years, so you can substitute the word adjustments to making mistakes. They've made mistakes, they've changed doctrine, they've changed policies. So it's not just these, oh, they're just tweaking things here and there. No, they have made mistakes. Huge mistakes, and they've made mistakes that have cost people their lives and their well-beings. Consider just as one of many examples, they're forbidding organ transplants. Did you know that there was a time when the Watchtower, and you could find this on jw.org in the Watchtower Library, just search for organ transplants, that was once forbidden. And that was once described as cannibalism. So they made adjustments to that, to where now organ transplants are okay, but they have their blood policies, of course, but people could have lost their lives and well-being, and probably did, by listening to the governing body in those cases. So listening to the governing body could cost you your life, because they could just change their mind a year later, the next day, if they wanted to. And they don't even have to explain themselves. They don't even have to apologize for misleading you, and they don't apologize, and that's a problem. God's organization has made many adjustments in recent years, including the use of new tools and methods in our ministry, the format of our midweek meeting, and the way we build, renovate, and maintain our kingdom halls. How we appreciate the loving and carefully thought-out guidance. We can be sure that Jehovah will bless our efforts to follow the organization's timely direction. So they're basically saying, if we change something, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. Right? Do you see how they're putting this? It's like when your parents discipline you, and they make you dinner, right? Let's say you hate lima beans, and I hate lima beans. I despised them growing up, but my parents would make them, and it's like, you're going to like this. And that's basically kind of forcing you to eat it, and they're just saying, you're going to like this. And that's what I kind of get from here, is that we're going to make these changes, and you're going to love it, right? And so it's follow us, believe us, go along with this, whether you like it or not. Whether these adjustments make sense to you or not, you're going to like it and you're going to do it, because we're God's organization. And if you're not listening to us, you're not listening to Jesus. Do you remember the article a couple of months ago where we talked about the meekness, how to be meek, humble, and mild? When you read a paragraph like this, do you gather from this meekness and mildness? So I'm not faulting the governing body for, you know, making changes. Of course, if you went to my local church makes changes, right? But when my church makes a change, they don't put it in the context of, if you're listening to Jesus, you're listening to us. So whatever changes we're making, that's a change that Jesus is making. If my church ever put it in that context, I would be out the door that very day. When the Watchtower makes these types of changes. You don't just see Jehovah's Witnesses just flocking out the door and leaving in droves. I mean, maybe sometimes you do, but most of the time you don't. You just find Jehovah's Witnesses nodding their heads, smiles on their faces, and just agreeing with the change. There is no biblical basis for which you need to agree with the change that the organization makes, because changes can be wrong, they can be bad, they can be misinformed. So you need to put on your biblical glasses and look at whatever change or adjustment the Watchtower makes and ask yourself, am I required to go along with this change? Am I required to believe it's from Jehovah? And the answer is no. You don't have to go along with it, especially if it's bad advice. Paragraph 16. Like Jesus, we too may be concerned about reproach brought on by Jehovah's name. Perhaps like Jesus, we are victims of unjust treatment, or we may be disturbed by false stories that oppressors spread about us. We may think about the reproach these reports bring on Jehovah's name and his organization. Now, what they're not telling you here are what false stories are they talking about? What stories are oppressors, whatever that means, spread about us? The reason that they aren't giving you any specifics here is because they want you to look at anything negative that anyone is saying about Jehovah's Witnesses. They want you to look at that and just dismiss it without first examining it. They want you just to refuse to look at it, refuse to believe it, just to assume that it's wrong before examining it. That's why they always make these vague references here. But rather, what you should do, for example, if someone says something negative about me, whether on the internet or in person, I want to examine it to see whether it's true or not. That's what you should do. That's what a wise person does. But the Watchtower doesn't want you even looking at those negative reports. But what if those negative reports are right? For example, what happened well over a decade ago? I think it's been almost 20 years now. I can't believe it's been that long. When the Watchtower was found out about their registration of an NGO in association with the United Nations. That was called out by a public article. The Watchtower was called out publicly. Now, at the time when that was being released, the Jehovah's Witnesses had not yet publicly responded to that. The Jehovah's Witnesses, who maybe have been asking questions to their elders, hey, I just saw this report about the United Nations and the Watchtower. What's up with that? They probably would have said, ignore that. That's just oppressors. That's just opposers saying lies about us. I can almost guarantee that was the response by the organization at the time. However, the Watchtower publicly responded to that. They sent out a letter explaining their association with the United Nations and then revoked their membership as an NGO and moved on from there. So the story was actually true. The report from oppressors and opposers was actually true. So you just can't assume that everything that comes out about Jehovah's Witnesses, the speaking negativity, is automatically false. That's demonstrably untrue. Paragraph 17. Jehovah is still speaking to us today. And they say, read Isaiah 30:21. So let's do that. Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right or to the left. That is God speaking to you. That's God speaking to you to his word, through his word and through his Holy Spirit. That's not talking about fallible men giving you their interpretation of Scripture or just giving you general advice. That is not what Isaiah 30:21 is talking about. It's not talking about even the Christian congregation giving you advice. That's just not what the Scripture is talking about. The Watchtower is wrong here. True, we do not hear God speak to us from heaven. They're right. He has, however, provided his written word, the Bible, in which he gives us instruction. Absolutely right. And that is what Isaiah 30, 21 is talking about. So unless you have inspired prophets walking around giving you advice and counsel, this is talking about his word today and his Holy Spirit today. It's not talking about fallible men telling you where to go and what to do. That's not what this is saying. Of course, the Watchtower has to lump into that. Remember, early in this article, I said the Watchtower is lumping it all in together. Additionally, Jehovah's Spirit moves the faithful steward to keep giving his servants their food supply. What an abundance of spiritual food we receive in the form of printed and online material, videos, and audio publication. I'm not going to tell you just flat out that the Watchtower is claiming inspiration here. They would deny that. If you were to corner a governing body member and ask them, hey, is paragraph 17 saying to me that you guys are claiming inspiration? They would say, oh, no, we're not claiming that, right? They're not claiming that. However, the way that this reads without qualification is saying that they are inspired because Jehovah's Spirit is moving the governing body to give you their scriptural counsel and interpretations. Jehovah's Spirit is moving them to do that. That's as strong of a way of saying inspiration without actually using the word inspiration. This is just more problematic than I can actually describe. Or else, why would they quote scriptures like Isaiah 30, 21, which is talking about Jehovah's inspired word, and then just lumping the faithful and discreet slave into that? So, again, one of the many instances where the Watchtower is claiming inspiration without using the word inspiration, but wanting you to pragmatically view them as inspired words, while at the same time, in other contexts, claiming that they are fallible and that they make mistakes. So that's all the time that we have for this review. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you for listening. And I look forward to hearing your thoughts about the meeting review workbook articles that I'm going to be posting next week. Thanks and have a great week. For more information about Jehovah's Witnesses and other topics, please visit michaeljfelker.com. There you can also reach me directly to submit questions or comments to be covered on the JW Review. To subscribe to this podcast, please go to iTunes and search for the JW Review.